Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Today's Issues is the name of this program. Thank you for listening to AFR. You want to send us an email, you can use this address, comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. Ed Battagliano is with me, Tim Wildman, and Steve Jordahl. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
Steve joins us from the AFR News team, and we got much more to talk about today in the news. But before we do that, we weekly joined.
Let's clean things up a little bit.
Yeah, good lead into this segment. Lynn Ingram is with us from Redeem Clean. We talk to Lynn most weeks, and he is the creator, along with Jim Duncan, his partner, of the Redeem Clean laundry detergent product that we've been mentioning here on AFR now for a few months. And the sales of which go to support American Family Association and American Family Radio. And Lynn is a professional cleaner in Abilene, Texas. And Lynn, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, Tim. Hello, team. How are you
doing? We're doing great. Do you ever have a bad day, Lynn? Because you're always chipper and upbeat and everything. I'm thinking,
hey. Tim, it's really an awesome day, honestly. We're just so grateful for the opportunities that we have. And it's awesome. We want to embrace those days.
Okay, how many? You've read 17 Joel Osteen books, have you? And I'm just teasing.
I believe for Lynn Ingram, every day is a Friday. Everybody is a Friday for Lynn.
Lynn reads the Bible,
yes.
And he's encouraged by what the Scripture says. Lynn, let's talk about. Go ahead.
Hey, Tom. Tim, can I tell you one thing?
Yes.
My mom passed away last night. And it is even more of a celebration today than most of the other days. She is dancing in heaven.
Well, we're sorry to hear your loss, but we're glad that she knew the Lord and
Amen.
And was an example, I'm sure, to you your whole life.
Indeed. Indeed. But anyway, thanks for letting me show.
All right. The question this week for you, Lynn, by the way, if you're about to leave us here, you got to get... do something, you're not going to be able to listen to this. Go to afastore.net and you can purchase the Redeem Clean product there. You're going to love it. We're getting great response to those who are using the laundry detergent that Jim and Lynn created, and they just wanted to give back to AFA and AFR. So
right.
That's the reason they created it. Now all people have to do is buy it, and it helps our ministry.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Okay,
so
go to afastore.net, folks, to read about it and look at it. Afastore.net. The question this week, Lynn, is this. A good number of people have let us know, that is you guys, that they would like to order additional Redeem Clean products for themselves, family members, or even as Christmas gifts. They want to know how to do this.
Good question. We've had a lot of this, not only at Christmas time, but even throughout the year. We started this just a couple of months ago. But if they would like to do this, Tim, they wish to do it. They do not have to open or create a new account if they can use their existing account. AFA and y'all's IT people has already set it up so they can use the same account, the existing account, just by using another login to order that particular order with. All you got to do is change the shipping information each time. The billing information and information will remain the same. But it's real easy to do, and we've had a lot of people ask how they can do that for Christmas gifts now that Christmas is coming up.
All right, so afastore.net, people can read all about how to do that. And you can either buy...
Yes, sir.
You can either purchase a monthly... Allison, my wife and I, we get a monthly shipment of the Redeem Clean. Comes right to our house. That's a great thing. Just comes right to your house, and or you can order, as needed. So either way, it's set up. AFAstore.net, AFAstore.net. Please give it a try, folks. It's getting rave reviews. The Redeem Clean laundry detergent and other. What other products you got there that we're offering?
Tim, we also set up people ask for a free and clear product. People have a lot of allergies and they're allergic to a lot of different things. So we've got another product with our detergent also that's free and clear that has no chemical, no dye to it. That's one thing that a lot of people like. We have softeners. We have some spotters. We also have dryer sheets. And each of these are tried and tested for many, many years. And we don't have to hold our head down about them. They do work, sir.
Yeah. All right. Listen, thanks so much, Lynn. Sorry your mom passed, but I'm glad she knew Christ. And I know you're celebrating because she's in heaven, you said.
Indeed, we are. Thank today. You, Tim.
All right, Lynn,
have a great week.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, Lynn.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
That's Lynn Ingram in Abilene, Texas. And he has his dad started their laundry business, and it's been going 4 or 5 decades.
Yeah.
There in
the family.
In Abilene.
These guys are pros.
Yeah.
He and Jim Duncan when it comes to cleaning.
AFAstore.net, AFAstore.net. All right, get us started. Steve, what do you got in the news, my friend?
Well, there's a lot of stuff going on. We should probably start with the fires out in California. The Camp Fire, which is the one in Northern California, which has taken out the town of Paradise, among other things, is now 113,000 acres. It has consumed 6,453 homes, 6,000 homes, and 260 commercial buildings, and 29 people are dead. There's still around 200 missing, not
Paradise
accounted for.
Paradise is in Northern California?
Northern California.
That's
this
the
is the one
the
in north of Sacramento.
It's your old stomping ground, right?
It's inland from my old stomping ground, yeah.
I watched over the weekend one of these videos that someone shot from their car as they're driving out. I think it was from Paradise, but they're driving out on the road, fires on both sides, smoke, flames almost shooting onto the roadway, and they had the audio, and you know the woman was praying, you know, Heavenly Father, protect us, and I think they must have had at least one child in the back, somewhat old enough to be doing the video. I mean, it was scary.
There's no atheist in fires.
Yes,
as well as foxholes.
My goodness, they were trying to get out.
It is, and I've seen that video and others like it too. And it is a scary thing. There's a second fire down south. This is the Woolsey Fire. It has consumed about 91,000 acres, and two people have died in this one. This is the one. It's consumed 370 buildings. Among those are a bunch of Stars homes, these mansions, because it went from the mountains all the way down to the ocean across Malibu. It took out most of the nice homes in Malibu. Gerard Butler, the actor, was on the internet today showing his home is just in ruins, just ashes. So a lot of stuff going on. We really need to pray for our
brothers and sisters. Explain to me, if you can, Steve, because I've never experienced anything like this, how fast these fires can move.
I saw
the winds in Southern California in particular can just...
The winds in Southern California, depending on where they're coming from, aid or stop the fire. So if they're coming from inland blowing out toward the ocean, if they're blowing west, it just fans the flames. If it reverses and comes east, it slows it down. But the problem is that these weather systems are so hot, they create their own weather. And I don't have the exact number. I know we were talking about this morning. But I saw one report where the fire was progressing at multiple hundreds of football fields a minute.
I think I remember reading 80 football fields a minute.
80, then, not multiple hundreds.
Torching it?
Well,
torching that much?
Spreading it,
yeah.
Probably. That's probably the outer edge of the fire, and then fire comes behind it, it probably consumes everything. But it is moving and catching fire at that pace. That's incredible. You can't outrun that.
How do you stop that? Well, you don't. Well, they have tankers. They have the United States' only 747 air tanker, which just by coincidence is housed in Colorado Springs, where I came from, and I've seen that tanker multiple times, but it is flying in Southern California, Northern California, dropping retardant on the flames there. But I read an article or a Facebook post from a guy who escaped the flames, and he said he looked around and there was like five. He was standing with a group of like 10 people. He ran The other nine went and hid behind a car, and he said they were gone. Within seconds, they were gone.
Fire?
Fire.
Caught them?
Fire
wow.
caught them. And he said it was just a matter of seconds since he ran. If they'd run, these are split-second decisions that people make that either cost them their lives or
I'm surprised people would be that close for that to happen. Did you know I was reading about this, the smoke from these fires in California is getting up in the jet stream.
Yeah. Mm.
And so people in Detroit, Michigan are having to deal with the odor of the smoke.
Wow.
From the fires in California. That's pretty amazing to think it would travel that far.
Yeah.
But that shows you how big these fires are.
They're huge.
Out in Southern and Northern California. Malibu, as you said, that's the home of the celebrities.
Right.
Right there. That's right near, that's just north of Los Angeles.
It's getting a lot of press because it's the home of the celebrities, and it is beautiful country. And the fire burned right down the mountains, right across Highway 1, right down to the beach. But the real devastation is in Northern California, cities like Paradise, where hundreds have died, or dozens have died, and hundreds are missing.
Yeah.
And hundreds, 600 or so homes are gone.
Right.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of this program. Thank you for listening. Steve Jordahl is our newsman. Ed Battagliano, yours truly, Tim Wildman here. Steve, go ahead.
I want to talk about a gentleman named Luis Rodrigo Perez, and maybe gentleman is too strong a term. This is an illegal immigrant who was released from a county jail in New Jersey. He was in New Jersey. This town was a sanctuary city, and then he traveled across the country to Missouri where he committed a triple homicide. And it's another issue where the city of New Jersey decided that they did not have to notify ICE, even though ICE had put a detainer on this guy because they're a sanctuary.
You know, that's what, when I was reading that story, that was the most egregious part of it to me, is that ICE, the Immigration and Customs
Enforcement,
they, when you say put a detainer, is that what you called it?
It had a detainer request, which means they requested, it was Middlesex County Jail.
Okay, so ICE says we want this guy to the sheriff's office, I guess.
The county, sheriff's office.
Okay, so are the police department there in Middlesex
County.
Middlesex County will be a sheriff's department then.
Yeah.
In New Jersey, we want this guy because he's a bad dude, or he's done things that we want to charge him with, or we want to deport him or whatever. Middlesex County, New Jersey says, no, we're not cooperating with you, ICE. We're going to let this guy go, right?
That's exactly right.
So they let this guy go. This guy travels, going somewhere across country or whatever, goes to Missouri and commits a triple homicide. Right?
Well, he's alleged to have killed. Yeah.
Well, he hadn't been convicted yet.
Right.
But, I mean, he did it. But
Police in Missouri say Perez attacked a home from which he had been kicked out. The victims were heard begging for their lives.
Okay. Three people are dead.
Three are dead.
So, in that situation, if you are a family member, example, of the slain, could they not come back on this county and say you're responsible for the deaths of my family members, Ed? I mean,
well, they can. I don't think you can sue government for negligence if they are carrying out the law in their state. Now, you may be able to sue the state. You see what I'm saying? If Middlesex County says, well, this is the law in our state, we're allowed to let them go, then your issue is with the legislature that.
Is this what this means, though, Steve, when we say somewhere is a sanctuary city, or I guess in California, I don't know if it's officially or not, but in essence, it's a sanctuary state, right? And that is, I know New York City is, Chicago is, Houston is. So when you call yourself a sanctuary city, you're saying that our city is not going to cooperate with the federal law enforcement agencies responsible for illegal immigration.
In most cases, In some cases, most cities say if you have someone that's convicted of murder or another violent crime that they will cooperate. But this gentleman was held for violent crimes, and they did not.
It was domestic violence.
It was So what, there wasn't a death involved.
What would be the reason, excuse me for being elementary here, but I think it's a teaching moment maybe for people who don't understand what a sanctuary city represents and why it shouldn't be allowed. But what would be the argument, Steve, for Middlesex County, New Jersey, to say to the family in Missouri, we're sorry, but you lost three people, but it's more, but it's important that we don't cooperate with ICE because, and then now fill in the because for me.
What I hear is that they, many places use the excuse that if they cooperate with ICE, it's going to spread fear into the illegal community, and they will be less likely to report crimes in which they are victims or that they know have information about. So the police think it, in order to clean up and be complete with the crime that accompanies illegal immigration, that they can't make them look like their targets. But to be honest with you, Tim, my skepticism says they just are open border people. They just think that they human rights, it's the thing that Macron was talking about with President Trump that you guys talked about earlier.
Well, this guy, Luis Rodrigo Perez, okay, mm-hmm. 23 years old, a native of Mexico. So he is arrested on domestic violence charges. Okay, he's held
in New Jersey.
In Middlesex County Jail. And I think what happens too, just to kind of add another level of complexity here, is they handle that like they would any other domestic violence charge. So he's brought in, he's fingerprinted, he's taken pictures, taken whatever. And then he's released on bail. See, at that point, ICE says, oh, you've got this guy, we want him. Middlesex County says, okay, so we're not going to release him on bail. We're going to hold him for the feds. They won't do that. So they release
Perez. Though he's here illegally.
Even though he's here illegally, they release Perez like they would anyone else who's been charged. You come back, you're going to have your court date, we'll let you know. Well, instead, Perez leaves the state and goes to Missouri, and now he's accused of three murders.
So the deaths of these three people is at least in part on the hands of the Middlesex County officials or whoever who allowed this to happen, seems to me.
Well, no, they would say, I'm not defending him because
that's what I want to know.
Say, listen, we treated him like anybody else on domestic violence charges. We can't hold him until his trial.
No,
so
but you could turn
go.
Him up. But no, and I know you're not arguing right. with me, nor am I arguing with you. Trying to flesh this thing out here, so we can understand why where these sanctuary city people are coming from. Other than what Steve said, they're just open borders people. I don't understand the reasoning for the for a sheriff's department when ICE notifies you this guy's here illegally. He's illegal.
Yeah, but see, what Middlesex County would say is, we didn't know the guy was going to leave and go to Missouri and kill three people. If you're saying we should have turned him over to ICE because he was likely a triple murderer, that's racist. That's the argument that they're making.
No, I would say, you turn him over to ICE because he's in the country illegally and needs to be deported.
Oh, absolutely. No, but their argument is,
do you need another reason?
Yeah,
somebody's here.
It goes to what Steve's saying.
They're really open borders.
They're open borders people,
right?
You know, the people making these laws and these regulations.
So the reason you would be for sanctuary cities, or California sanctuary states, is because you're really for open borders.
Yes, I don't see any way around.
Right.
That.
It's hard to think of a reasonable excuse except that humanitarian reasons, you know.
Had the sheriff's department here turned this fellow, over to ICE as requested? True.
Well, right. I don't know if they have because he's facing triple murder charges in Missouri.
No, but
beforehand,
if he had,
these three people wouldn't be dead.
That's correct.
Yes.
Okay. That's okay. So, I mean, how would the sheriff's department of Middlesex County, New Jersey, like it if a if the police department, which is subservient to the sheriff's department, if that's the right way you look at it, or has less jurisdiction. Y'all follow me here? If you have a city is controlled by police department,
right?
The greater county is controlled by the sheriff's department, right? And if I understand it right, the sheriff's department has more authority.
I don't
okay.
know. Yeah.
Well, the point is, what if a police department told a sheriff's department, the sheriff's department calls to the police department and says, "Hey, we're looking for this guy. You've got him. Can you wait till we get come over and pick him up?" And what if the police department said to the sheriff's department, "No, we're letting him go."
Yeah, that's perfect. That's a perfect description of
that's
what
sheriff's departments do to ICE.
Yes.
What I've just described.
Right. We're not going to cooperate.
We're not going to cooperate
because you represent the feds of holding the line on illegal immigration, and we believe in open borders.
Right. What if police departments told sheriff's departments, "We're not cooperating with you."
Yeah.
When we want to come over and pick up one of your guys. So, I don't know. All right, what else you got, Steve?
You guys are both fathers of girls, of daughters. I am too. Tucker Carlson was in a country club. He was having dinner at a country club restaurant over the weekend. I'd like to play you, if I could, a little bit of the fracas. This is cut number 10 that happened at this country club. Okay, so what you heard there, there's saying there's no need for violence, you're right, and if you don't get this guy out of here, there will be some. That's Tucker Carlson. Michael Avenatti is accusing him of assault on this person, who is a guy that was sitting at the bar at this country club. It turns out that, well, let me read Tucker's version of what happened. On October 13th, I had dinner with my two children and some family friends at the Farmington Country Club in Charlottesville, Virginia, toward the end of my meal. My 19-year-old daughter went to the bathroom with a friend. On her way back through the bar, a middle-aged man stopped my daughter and asked if she was having dinner with Tucker Carlson. My daughter had never seen the man before. She answered, "That's my dad," pointed to me. The man responded, "Are you Tucker Carlson's?" Then he used a very filthy word for prostitute. Then he called her another dirty word.
It's a terrible word.
Terrible word. My daughter returned to the table in tears. Soon she left the table and the club. My son, who's also a student, went to the bar to confront the man. I followed. My son asked the man if he called my sister those words. The man admitted he had, and he again became profane. My son threw a glass of red wine in the man's face and told him to leave the bar, and then that was the fracas you heard. Says Carlson, "I love my children. It took enormous self-control not to beat the man with a chair, which is what I wanted to do. What happened on October 13 has nothing to do with identity politics. It was a grotesque violation of decency. I've never seen anything like that before in my life." If your daughters were treated like that, wouldn't you want to beat the man with a chair?
Well, absolutely. Oh. And here's the thing is that people are, as our culture and sense of decency unravels, people more and more are using the kind of language. I wouldn't even pretend to try to explain what this man said. It was absolute depraved
filth.
Okay, and because you can't beat someone up, these people feel like they can get away with it.
And Avenatti's wants to charge Tucker. Of course, Avenatti's a publicity hound. So.
Yeah.
Other than that, Steve's everything pretty good in the world.
It's a great day.
Okay. All right.
We're gonna call Lynn Ingram back up.
You're right.
Help us out, Lynn. Get us back
on
track.
Don't worry.
Be happy.
Don't worry. Be happy. All right. Thank you, folks, for listening to AFR. We do hope you have a great Monday. Keep listening. And Dr. Alistair Begg will be teaching the Word of God coming up in about 2 minutes. And then we'll see you tomorrow.